Here's a question I received from Anna. Anna's having difficulty in romance. Hello, Dr. Kenner. I've been dating Peter. We sparked our romance in Kentucky, where I was living. He returned to his home in New York City, where I grew up, and we continued to talk for months. We then decided to end our relationship. A year passed. When I visited my parents back home in New York City, Peter asked me to lunch and we rekindled our romance. I moved back to the city with him, but I hate living here. It's a big sacrifice for me. I had been looking to relocate in Florida, where I have a better shot at my career. I'm torn. I love Peter and I don't take that lightly. I want him in my life, but I feel I must move away. Am I unreasonable for thinking that I can move and we can continue with a long-distance relationship? I'm very confused. Any insights you can offer? Thank you so much. By the way, I love your book. I love those comments, Anna. It's a book I wrote with Dr. Ed Locke. You can see that on my website, drkenner.com. So, Anna, here's the difficulty. You've got a conflict between two top values, and those are always the most difficult to decide or to figure out, to brainstorm and maybe come up with an alternative. You have your career hopes in Florida, you don't like New York City, and you have Peter, your love, who is glued to New York City, I'm assuming. So the first thing, I'll give you the few stages you can go through. First, you want to understand yourself, and I'll elaborate on each in a moment. Then you want to work to really, really hear Peter's situation and his desires without a lot of yes buts. You want to just hear where he's coming from, so because you both love each other. Now, you may already know all of this. Then the two of you want to generate as many alternatives as you can. You can think way outside of the square. You both work on maybe as in the airlines, where you could fly back and forth between New York and Florida. I mean, that's bizarre, but you know, maybe you can find something that would work. And if there's no solution, you're going to need to make a choice. So the word that jumps up to me first, I want to talk about this word, and then I'm going to come back and talk about each of those briefly. The word is sacrifice, that you're saying it would be a huge sacrifice for you to live in New York City. So a sacrifice is giving up a greater value for a lesser one or something that has no value at all. So if I said to you, you know, my husband lives in New York City and I just don't want to go there. I hate New York City. Now that would be true for, I don't hate New York City, but I'm not a city gal. I'm a country gal. If I said, oh, I just hate living in the city and I think I'll give up my husband, to me that would be bizarre. If we had a situation where he had to live in the city, man, I would like to take a lot of vacations, even if it's driving into the closest park or something to give myself the feeling of being in the country. But it would be such a sacrifice for me to leave my husband because I love him so dearly. So is Peter the lesser of the two values? Are your career plans, and this is legitimate, if it's true, are your career plans and your desire to live in Florida, you know, the vision that you've given for yourself of your own future, is that more important to you? If that's the case, sometimes what can you do? You make your choice and you move to Florida. If he's willing to have a long-distance relationship, you guys can give it a try again. You did try it once before. So that has to do with the word sacrifice. Now I want to go back and talk about understanding yourself, and then we'll get to generating alternatives together. You want to know, Anna, understand your own ambivalence. The skill is called explore your own ambivalence. What is it you hate about New York City? Is it too hectic? Are there no career opportunities for you in your field? Let's say you want to work at SeaWorld and there just isn't a SeaWorld in New York City. Maybe you don't like the cold winters and you hate snow, or maybe your parents are nearby and they're very intrusive and you just like the emotional distance of living, a few states away. So you want to introspect and understand that gut feeling, you have that strong negative emotional response to living in New York City, and you may have already done that. When you get to the core issue, or just a few issues, whatever they are, maybe it's your parents are too close by or something, or you just don't like the city, then see if there's any way around that. What if anything would need to change to make New York City a bit more appealing? If it's your parents, can you set up some boundaries? Maybe you've never done that, but maybe you could get some therapy help. If it's the weather, hey, ain't nothing you can do there. Therapy's not going to help you unless you suddenly start to love skiing or something or cold weather. But if it's that you just don't have a career there, then that's really important because your career does become your identity. It's a main source of your identity. I mean, we have friends and hobbies and other things too, but the career is the foundation. So then you can ask yourself, what do you love about Florida and how much of it is based in fact and how much of it is just your hopes, your wishful thinking in a way? Then you can generate alternatives together with Peter. You've listened to him, you understand yourself. Now you guys get together and you try to figure out, can you compromise? Now, a compromise is different from a sacrifice. You do give a little to get a little. So it's mutual concessions, but you both gain something more important, your romantic relationship with Peter, and Peter with you. So is there a way that you could figure out something that you could do? Maybe Peter could, spend part of the time, get some career position where part of the time he's in Florida, part of the time he's in New York City, so you're not away from each other all the time. If you try to have a completely long distance relationship, I think not living with one another is very trying on any couple. I mean, we've got Skype now, you've got the internet, but I think it really tries. You don't have that personal touch all the time. So you want to give it a lot of thought. And I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by psychologist Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Here are five ways of making your partner feel loved and visible. Show encouragement and appreciation. Spend quality time together. Give appropriate gifts. Help out. Touch in a loving, sincere way. Most partners will appreciate all five. However, different people may place different degrees of importance on them. Discover what makes your partner feel loved and visible. If you neglect trying to understand your partner, it conveys that you don't think your loved one is important. Your partner feels invisible and not connected to you on the deepest level, and this undermines your romantic relationship, including your sex life. If you don't understand your partner, even when you do take actions that demonstrate love, they might be the wrong actions.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.